We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Buff Nation, welcome to the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast here at the University of Colorado. Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, my cohort, the contributing editor for CUBuffs.com, Neil Welk. All right, let's jump in here talking a little Hall of Fame before we start talking football and homecoming game. On Thursday night, the Buffs inducted their 16th class in the CU Athletic Hall of Fame. A lot of football guys, Chris Naoli, Chris Brown, Nicky Marshall from soccer, you had Richard Rokos. I know it's always a good class, but boy, there's some big names in that class, wasn't there?
There's just some great names, Mark, and you know, I'm really glad to see people like Nicky Marshall get honored. A lot of those people I covered, I guess that just shows you how old I'm getting. But you know, Nicky Marshall, and like you said, Chris Naoli, an offensive lineman that not a lot of people may remember, but boy, instrumental in just some of the great years of CU football. Went on to an excellent NFL career. Chris Hudson, obviously, a Thorpe Award winner. Just another outstanding class.
Yep, no doubt about it. You know, Rick and I early this week, Rick George and I were chatting. We were taping for pregame, and I said, Rick, what does it say about us if that people that are going into the Hall of Fame are people that were competing when you and I both got here? and that's doubly bad for you, by the way, because you've been around forever.
Yeah, and it's always neat to see that. I love the Hall of Fame week just because it gives people a reminder of the tradition of the University of Colorado.
When you think of some of the football players, Chris Brown, obviously, from you know, some of Gary Barnett's teams, Naoli, Mickey Pruitt. Pruitt is another football player that goes in there. Any particular story or moment stand out in your mind with some of those guys?
Well, you know, Pruitt was a guy that had a play that might have saved or helped, you know, that, what was it, the 86 Oregon game, I think it was. Is he the one that had a big sack in that game? Oregon's down on the goal line, ready to score. If they win that game, Colorado starts the season like 0-5 or 1-4, something like that. And Pruitt comes up with a big play, sacks the quarterback, and turned that season around. That's the season that they ended up, finishing second in the Big Eight, and just turned those kind of things around. Chris Brown, obviously, you remember, you know, Nebraska.
Yep, 62-36.
I think he's still running. I guarantee you that there are still guys in that Nebraska secondary that are waking up with the cold sweats, and they're ducking because they're seeing Chris Brown running at them. They just were getting out of his way. And so, yeah, there's just, you know, some great players and great people that are in that class.
You know, Donnie
Willard.
Yeah, well, Keith Willard, who played, what, football, basketball, baseball, and track, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and ran, a time that would be a good time today.
Yeah.
You know, ran a 100-yard dash time that if you had a football player today that ran that 100, you'd go, that kid's pretty fast. So, no, it was, yeah. And Donnie Boyce, one of my all-time favorite basketball players, just a great bunch.
And, you know, we should mention with Lee Willard, if there are folks out there going, Lee Willard, you know, he did compete back in 1918 to 1922, so it was a long time ago, but that certainly does not lessen the impact he had athletically on this institution. Yeah, I was going to mention Donnie Boyce because there's a guy, and I know, and you can speak to this greater than I can. This was, you know, he was playing from 91 to 95, so right around the time that, or just before Chauncey got here. But there was a guy, and there are some individuals that I look back in Colorado basketball history long before I got here that were extremely good players and maybe don't get, because the program was never consistently good, don't quite get the attention that maybe they should historically for CU.
Yeah, and Donnie was one of those. Donnie was one of those guys. The whole Big 8 knew who he was. I mean, everybody in the Big 8 knew who Donnie Boyce was, and they came up with all kinds of defenses to try and stop Donnie Boyce from scoring. I mean, and that was back when there were some pretty good coaches in the Big 8. Norm Stewart was at Missouri.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Tubbs was probably still at Oklahoma then. Kansas was coming around, I think, right after Larry. That's when Bill Self rolled in there. So a lot of good coaches, and they all had great respect for Donnie Boyce. And that's how I've always love to judge a player. In the same vein as a McKinley Wright. If you asked the coach the Colorado was playing next week, they were going to tell you, hey, we got to figure out a way to shut down McKinley Wright. Donnie Boyce was the same way. He was a good shooter, a 6'4 kid that could rebound, that could shoot, and it could score from the outside, from the inside, and always a lot of fun to watch him play.
And went into a nice NBA career. Hey, let's start talking some football. Last week, Buffs go on the road, lose, obviously, 52-29 to the number 7 Oregon Ducks last week. And, boy, I think you could see that Nate Lamma wasn't playing, and that defense, without having kind of their quarterback back there, certainly had its struggles. But on the offensive side, Neil, and we've been talking about this all season long, we saw improvement, didn't we?
We saw consistency and improvement. You know, four scoring drives, four touchdown drives, all of them at least 65 yards, and that's the best they've done in that regard all year long against a good team.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, well, they got some of those drives late in the game. Yes, they did. They got a couple of them in the fourth quarter, but they had two long drives in the second quarter when Oregon was still playing their first team, doing everything they could. And I thought the offensive line took big strides last week.
Yeah, without question. I thought it was better, and obviously they made the coaching change, and so it infused some energy into that group. Brendan Rice, we watched him all through camp. We knew, watched him last year. We knew he was a physical specimen. We knew he had the pedigree, obviously, with his father and all that. Last couple of weeks, he is becoming everything we thought he could be. I mean, that guy's an NFL receiver now.
He is. He goes up and gets the ball, and I'm really glad to see two games in a row now, Brendan Lewis has thrown the ball up and said, go get it, Brendan Rice. I mean, it's been good coverage, and he said, my guy is better than their defensive back. And that's a wonderful thing, confidence for quarterback to have. And if you have a receiver like that, you've got to do that. And I think he's finally, you know, Brendan Lewis has reached that point where he said, yeah, my guy is going to make that catch. I'm going to huck it up there. It's close, but I know my guy's going to make that catch. And Brendan Rice has made those catches. And that's a big, big, big step forward when you have confidence in that receiver. And when that guy can make those catches, man, that's just he's a difference maker, Mark.
Neil, that catch he made for the touchdown, speaking of Brendan Rice right now. So I call the touchdown to the air, and for fans that maybe they didn't see it, I mean, he goes up right around the 1 or 2 yard line, has to go high for the ball, as Neil's talking about, throw it up, let him go get it. He has two defenders cross in front of him as the ball's coming in. They almost got there at the same time as the ball did, and yet snags the ball, comes down, and just steps into the end zone from a yard out. And on the air, I call the touchdown, and Gary Barnett, who knows a little bit about football, says something along the lines of, fans, you don't understand the difficulty with what he just did out there and how big a catch that is. And I thought it was a brief glimpse into kind of the special talent that Brendan Rice has got.
Oh, his field of vision was completely blocked twice on that play.
Yep.
If you watch the replay, there's a guy between hands and a person between him and the ball twice in that really, you know, split-second sequence, he never took his eyes off the ball. He knew where it was coming. He had his hands in the right position. He just did everything right. I mean, just instinctively great play, went up and got it, and then made it look easy. And again, great to have a quarterback that has confidence, and yet great to have a receiver who can make catches like that.
You know, I mentioned Nate Lamon not being there last week. We don't expect him to play on Saturday versus Oregon State. I'm not sure if he'll play again the rest of the season. You certainly hope so, but I think that's up in the air right now. We saw it last year against Utah when he went down with the Achilles injury, how it affected that defense. And I think the last couple of weeks we've seen what it – but it is not having number 53 out there. It's an enormous loss. And what it does for me, I mean, this team will overcome that and figure things out. But what it does for me, it speaks to the greatness of how good Nate Lamon is.
It speaks to not just his physical abilities and his abilities as a player. It speaks to his abilities as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, to me, everybody out there, When Nate Lamon's out there, everybody's a little bit more confident. They're playing with a little bit more swagger. They're playing and making plays, taking chances, doing things that they know, because they know 53 is going to be there to back him up.
Sure.
And he's calling the signals. He's keeping everybody going. And that's a huge loss. This team has to figure out a way to overcome the loss of one guy. You can't have a defense that depends so much on one guy. I'm not taking away from Nate Lamon. He's as good as they get. But they've got to find a way to start coming together without 53 out there. Because guess what? No matter what, he's not going to be there next year.
That's exactly right. I've been joking the last couple of weeks. It's really affecting me calling the games. Because when in doubt, I just said Nate Lamon made the tackle, you know. Because he's always around the football. Hey, this Oregon State team, they're going to play on Saturday. Maybe the surprise team of the Pac-12. They're sitting at 5-3, right in the middle of the North Division chase at this point in time. Awful impressive with what Jonathan Smith has done with that program. Because, Neil, here we're talking about the Buffs having to grow and build under Carl Durrell. Jonathan Smith has done it in year number four up there at OSU.
And I'm really glad you brought that up, Mark, because I've talked to a couple people this week, you know, who, oh, look what Jonathan Smith has done. Yeah, he's in his fourth year.
Yeah.
And you've got to give people, you know, we're in such an immediate society today, we have to have results right away. But if you look at what Jonathan Smith has done, he's built an offensive line, he's built a defense, he's got a good running back, he's got a good young quarterback, he's got good players. And now in his fourth year, they're playing with some confidence, and they're doing, you know, they're doing well. Now, they've had some ups and downs, and certainly he wants to get some better players, but that is what a good coach does if they stick to the plan.
Yeah.
And I think what Jonathan Smith has done at Oregon State, which is not an easy place to win, it's just been a phenomenal coaching job.
Yeah, without question. I mean, the quarterback is solid. He's been a bit of a journeyman going through a junior college and Middle Tennessee State. B.J. Baylor, the running back. It's really an impressive team to watch. So we're looking forward to that ball game on Saturday for the Buffaloes. Hey, real quick, couple of comments about basketball. I thought it was funny. You and I both feel the same way about Tad Boyle. We're blown away by how good a coach he is and what a better human being he is. They get the 30-point win over Colorado School of Mines in an exhibition game, then go to Nebraska last Sunday, and you'd get beat pretty soundly. Ultimately, what was the 12 or 14 points with the Timberwolves, as said and done. And I've got fans dropping me a line going, what is going on? And the panic button, I'm like, just relax. It's Tad Boyle. He's got a young team. I thought last week at Nebraska, that's exactly what that group of young players needed for Tad.
Thank you. People are going to think we planned this. I am so glad you said that, because that's exactly what that team had to have. They were full of themselves. They beat Mines by 40 or 35, whatever it was. Everybody played well. They had 5, 6, 7 guys in double digits, and they were feeling really good. Man, they're a pretty good college basketball team. Bring them on. And they got a taste of what it's going to be like. They went to Nebraska on the road in front of a decent crowd that was not Colorado-friendly by any stretch of the imagination. Some big, older guys, veteran guys, that took them to the woodshed. That's exactly what that team needed. And now they know what they have to do. And I guarantee you that Tad didn't have to go into practice on Monday and say, guys, this is what we have to work on, because they know what they have to work on. So that, to me, that was, you couldn't have asked for a better scenario for that young team, because they will get better. They'll learn, and now they know. you know, you don't know what you don't know. Well, now they know.
Yeah, so, one of my favorite lines of all time. It says, life is a tough teacher. You get the test, and then you get the answers, right? I mean, so they certainly did. Hey, before we let you go here on the Buffs Insider, on Thursday we found out Mark Wetmore, once again, the Pac-12 Coach of the Year for cross country. And you know, I joke all the time, death, taxes, and Mark Wetmore, right? I mean, it's just phenomenal what he's been able to do.
Yeah, the sun came up in the east this morning, and Mark Wetmore was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. So, what's new? I mean, the guy's phenomenal. He's won 36 conference championships. Mark.
Stunning. Stunning.
I mean, when I look at that number, I just go, it's just astounding. But I don't think people understand that the team concept that he's able to coach in cross country.
Yeah.
You know, he has an individual champion every now and then, and they do well in that regard, but his third, fourth, and fifth place runners run just as hard as they possibly can because they know that every point counts. And Mark Wetmore is a CU treasure.
And you and I have been blessed in our positions. I don't think a lot of people, because he is the cross country coach, and it's not, you know, it's not football or basketball, they get a lot of the attention, but you and I in our positions, we get to deal with him all the time. He is one of the more fascinating people I've ever been around and got a wonderful sense of humor that nobody ever sees.
He has such a dry sense of humor. He'll say something and I'll stop and look and go, oh, yeah, that was really funny. And he'll just look at me and just barely crinkle a smile. And, you know, well, Neil, you're slow on the uptake, but you finally got it. So, no, I think Colorado's very lucky to have a guy like Mark Wetmore.
Oh, man. We had him, so, you know, virtually every week during the season, he and I do a little segment. A lot of times it ends up on the television show. You know, we joke it's the Mark and Mark show, and we have a good time with it. And so I opened up a segment here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, the highly acclaimed Mark and Mark show. And I look at him, and he says, but soon to be canceled, I'm sure. Oh, man, he kills me. Kills me. Well, you're getting ready, by the way, next week for the Mountain Regional Championships in Provo, Utah. Good stuff today, Neil. We'll look forward to your coverage on CUBus.com after the game on Saturday.
All right. Hey, all right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mark.
That's the contributing editor of CUBus.com, Neil Welk. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Football tomorrow as the Buffs will take on the OSU Beavers at 5 o'clock at Folsom Field. Gary Barnett, Andy Lindahl, and I will hit the air at 3 o'clock with the Buffalo Stampede pregame show. You can catch it in Denver at 850 KOA on the Varsity Network app. Also go to the Buffs View broadcast at CUBus.com/BuffsView. As we put a wrap this week on the Buffs Insider.